You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
How are you today?
I am doing fairly well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine and dandy. You know, like, I had a good anniversary weekend. It went quite
Fantastic.
Well, and celebrated 4 years with the wife.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. The day after our anniversary celebration, I went to a Star Trek convention.
Ooh! Which one was it, and what did you do?
It was the Chicago Creation, I think, Star Trek convention. I think it was Creation.
Okay, all right.
And it was the same convention that I went to. It was the same style convention and same location as the first one I ever went to a few years ago. It was at the Westin in Rosemont, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And it's where O'Hare is, the O'Hare Airport.
Okay, the airport, yeah.
And you know what? I almost didn't go because our friend and friend of the network, Mike Schindler, he sent me a link because he's from the Chicagoland area. And he sent me a link saying, hey, you can get really cheap tickets to this. It's only like $6 or $8. It's insane.
Wow.
And I said, I was like, wow, okay. I wasn't going to go, but I was like, I guess I'll go now. And
for $8, I would go.
So I bought it, and then I was thinking, well, that is my anniversary weekend, so if we have plans going on, whatever, I'm out $8. No big deal.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't go because I was just like, well, there's no real big events that I really want to go see. And, you know, it's just, I'm not one for photo ops. Sometimes they'll do signatures, but they have those throughout the day, and I don't want to spend all day there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's such a small venue, you know, like it's different from like Chicago Comic Con that's hosted by Wizard. You know, that's huge and at the convention center.
Right. That's probably like Phoenix Comic Con, which was almost 80,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. Like when it's Comic Con, it's like San Diego Comic Con, but just in a metropolis area, you know. And
yeah.
So that's our Chicago Comic Con. And that's in August. And that's a huge deal. A lot of fun. $60, you know, to get in. And vendor rooms the size of arenas. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Now that I've been to a big convention like that, holy wow. It's just an overload. Yeah, it is.
It's overload. It's huge. And it's movies and comics and
it's anything
books,
you can,
art, anything you can think of.
Yeah, your heart's desire. It's all there.
And so with the Star Trek one, even though I'm a Star Trek nerd and I love Star Trek above all other franchises, I was just kind of like, eh, you know, I did that, whatever.
Mm-hmm. No panels you wanted to go to?
Not really. I mean, there was a Voyager panel. That was the only panel that they had was a Voyager panel. And it was Tim Russ, Garrett Wong, Robert Picardo, and Ethan Phillips.
Okay.
And so it was the four of them. And I mean, I love those actors, but I don't know why. I just... The panels are great, but it just wasn't enough to get me there. I'm such a lazy bum.
No, you've just got a lot of things to do, and I don't know how long of a drive it was for you.
Oh, barely. It's just a half an hour.
You know, okay. Well, for some people, half an hour is a commute, but I know you do more than that on a daily basis. It's just,
yes.
You know, you have to take the time to get there, and then if you want to register, blah, 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 go through the lines. I mean, it is an ordeal. It is a day-long thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I probably should have gone to the panel, but I didn't. And so I went and I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go to the vendor's room. That's the main thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to the vendor's room, see if there's any merchandise I want and, you know, everything like that. And so I dropped my mother-in-law and my wife off at the fashion outlets, which is right next door. Mm. And then I go to the Westin and I walk in and I'm just like, oh, you know, it's the vendor's room's there and it's open and everything like that. I didn't need a ticket to go to the vendor room. like I did at, you know, the Wizard Comic Con. And I was like, oh, crap. I could have just walked in. Like, no one asked me for a ticket or a wristband or anything like that. I was like, dang it. Whatever, $8 out the window.
That's not usually the case. Most of the time you have to have the pass to even get to get into the vendor's room.
Right? That's what I thought, too. But I mean, I went and it was great. I was smiling ear to ear. And my family was just like, is this the right place? I said, well, I don't know. And then right when that question was asked, somebody dressed as a Borg and Captain Picard and Janeway walked out. And I was just like, I'm in the right place.
Nerd heaven.
And it's just so funny because I should remember this for next time, because when you go to a convention, you immediately start grinning like an idiot. Like, you start seeing little kids dressed up as Spock, and you see couples dressed up in couples themed outfits, and you see people who are 80 years old and 2 years old, and you're just surrounded by this, the thing that unites everybody and that you love. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is where I belong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what really surprised me is that I walk into the vendor's room and there's one wing and tons of people are there signing autographs. And you didn't need a ticket. You didn't need to wait in line. They were just there at a booth, at a desk. And I was just like, holy crap, if I knew this, I would have gone and gotten more cash. And and there was Denise Crosby, Garrett Wong, Robert Picardo, Armin Shimerman, Dominic Keating. Okay. And Terry Farrell was up presenting at a panel or something like that in the main room.
Oh, cool. All right.
And I was just blown away because I was just like, oh, crap. I mean, like, I don't have to pay to go get this signature. I mean, well, you had to pay for the signature. But, like, normally what you have to do is, like, you have to go online, buy a ticket, and then present said ticket into the line and say, like, okay, this is who I want to get a signature from, and wait forever in line. Mm-hmm. But they were just out there in the open. And just even if you didn't want to buy anything, you could just go and talk to them.
Some of the actors at Star Trek Las Vegas have tables in the vendor's room. Now, granted, you have to pay, you know, to get in there. But a lot of times they will just take the money themselves and they'll charge you like, you know, $40 for an autograph or something like that. But you can take a few minutes and talk with them. Unless the line is really, really long and busy. But most of the time, you can just chat with them for a little while. Say hi, get your autograph, get a photo or what have you.
Right.
At Star Trek Las Vegas, it's usually like the really big, you know, the captains, the really high profile stuff. That's, you get the ticket, you wait in line for an hour, and then you have approximately 10 seconds to say hello if they even look you in the eye.
Yeah, even if they look up, yeah.
They do. And I mean, it's really 50-50 as far as I've experienced. So it's a much better experience when you get to actually just see them at the tables.
Absolutely. And I was very pleased and very excited. And I was so sad because I was like, I got some ships. I got those ships that you need a subscription for.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, like I never wanted to do that because I don't want all of these ships and I don't want to spend all that money. And so this is a perfect venue to get just the ships you want.
Yeah.
And so I was
cool.
Just like, I'm going to get Voyager themed ships. And so I got the Delta Flyer and the Dauntless.
Nice.
And because they were out of the Prometheus and I was really sad about that.
I bet you were. Darn.
And so I only had $40 left and I was like, I'm not going to go get more cash. I'm not going to spend more money.
Because you so can in that vendor's room, man.
I know. And so I was just like, I was like, there's so many people I want to see. There's so many people I want to talk to. Denise Crosby was right there and she looks amazing.
Does she not?
She looks fantastic. It was so weird because I've seen her in Walking Dead not too long ago and a few things before that. And I'm not trying to be critical of her because we all change and we all age and our body changes and everything
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. And I was just kind of like, okay, Denise Crosby's, you know, getting a little older, body's changing a little bit, whatever. That's her business. But seeing her in person, oh my God, she looks amazing. She looks as good as she did in the 80s. And I have no idea how she does it. So if you're listening, whatever you're doing is working for you.
I think you could say that for a lot of the Trek actors out there. Like, I saw Gates McFadden at Star Trek Las Vegas a couple years ago. My goodness, she doesn't age either. Jerry Ryan doesn't age. I mean, I'm just incredibly jealous. Whatever kind of vitamins they take or what have you, I want it.
Yeah, and like Patrick Stewart's just a different story.
Oh, well, he's not human. I'm convinced.
He bathes in the blood of pandas, apparently.
Something like that, because the dude is just incredible.
But anyway, long story short, I had to make his choice. And I had one person that I could get a signature from or talk to. And so I chose Garrett Wong.
Good because for you.
You, like, I actually called you during the vendor's room saying how amazing everything was. And you said, if you have one person to talk to, go talk to Garrett Wong.
Yes, I did.
And so I took your advice and I went. He was really funny, really great, very cordial, very nice, shook my hand multiple times. I actually told him, I was like, I'm a host of a Voyager podcast. He said, which one? I said, To the Journey. He's like, oh, To the Journey, rock on. So like, he must have heard of us before, which just made me beam, knowing that. And I said, I follow you on Twitter. I said, you know, like you're hysterical. I think you give some real positive energy. You and Jerry Ryan are the only people are the only, celebs that I follow on Twitter. And he said, he's like, what's your name? I said, The Unseen Robin. He's like, boom. And he brings out his phone. He's like, well, I'll follow you back. And I was just like, oh, holy crap. This guy's really nice. And
that's cool. And he is. He's such a sweetheart. And he is so much fun at conventions. He knows how to work a crowd. He can make every single person in that room light up and feel special and feel like they've been acknowledged and leave feeling really positive and happy about the experience. The dude knows how to do conventions. And it's no wonder he does them all over the world, practically all year round. The dude travels a lot.
I look at his schedule and I'm like, no wonder he's so successful and he keeps being asked back is because he's such a crowd pleaser. And he knows how to be funny and he knows how to work the system. And he has to be making a good living just off of doing these appearances.
He does such a great job with everybody.
He does it well. But yeah, so that was my experience. Long story, but it was a very positive, very fun, a lot of great personal experience of meeting new people, shaking hands, saying great costume. You know, nice. I found a new geek store around. It's only an hour, 15 minutes from where I live. Apparently they have I'm not a Doctor Who fan, but apparently they have the largest Doctor Who selection outside of the UK.
Okay.
I think that's fun, even though I'm not into Doctor Who. I think that's cool.
It's still cool, right?
Yeah, it's still cool. So that's awesome. Yeah, there you go. So that's what I did over the weekend.
That's a lot more interesting than what I did. I mean, I've been doing laundry and cleaning the house, and I might take a soak in the pool for a little while. But I'd say you had a much better time, and I'm so glad that you met up with Garrett, said hi, told about the podcast. I'm pretty psyched about that. That's very cool.
And also, he was really great too, because he said, he's like, oh, you know, since you do a Voyager podcast, he's like, you want me to like intro your show or anything like that? I was like, oh, my co-host Char, she already got you in Vegas, so don't you worry about it.
And you know, the great thing about Garrett is he probably does remember that. He has an incredible memory. It blows me away how much the Trek stars, the Trek actors who do these conventions, how much they actually remember of people, because they see thousands and thousands of people all over the world and they'll remember, oh, that thing you did 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So great.
I mean, it's amazing. They have incredible memories. We ought to start the show. Yes.
It's time to start the show. Okay, so this is To the Journey Season 4 Top 5 Favorite Moments. And we love doing our top 5. We love making our lists. We talk about it all the time. We do it a lot. And you guys seem to really appreciate it as well. And so this is in no particular order because we have such a hard time doing 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's pretty much whatever there is. Mine are kind of in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But I'm not going to hold you to yours. So
okay, don't, because they could go any which way.
Well, then I am aching, Char. I am aching in my bones to find out what your first pick is.
Well, if your bones are aching, I recommend a hot bath with Epsom salts. That's all I've got to say about that.
Or an analgesic cream.
That could work, too. I'll get the hypo ready. Well, all right. My first pick, I think, is maybe an obvious one, but it's so important to the series as a whole. It's a big turning point. We have to talk about Kes leaving in The Gift. And specifically, I'm thinking the moment where Janeway says goodbye to her. Where a teary-eyed Janeway says, I'm going to miss you, and gives her a big hug. And, I mean, aside from the obvious fact that this is Kes's last hurrah, sort of, because I don't believe that Fury is canon. I erase that. It doesn't exist in my head. Beyond that moment, though, beyond that fact, this moment tugs at my heartstrings every time I watch it. I mean, I tear up a teeny bit, and I think it's because it's not just Janeway's tears when she says, I'm going to miss you. They're Mulgrew's as well. And Mulgrew talks quite a bit. You can look on Memory Alpha about how hard it was for her to lose Jennifer Lean as a member of the cast. She really liked her. And so I think there's something more to it goes beyond just acting. There is acting mm-hmm. there as Janeway, but it's also Mulgrew channeling herself in that scene, and I feel it. And that's powerful.
Which might also explain some of the behind-the-scenes bitterness towards certain new characters that were coming into that that season.
Yes, yeah, there was that whole thing, and then the fact that they put that new character in a cat suit did not help matters whatsoever.
Well, I love that moment. That's a good moment, but I usually try to forget that moment because it's even though Kes is my least favorite character, or I think I've gone on record as saying she's my least favorite character on Voyager, I still love Kes.
Right.
And I lament her passing. And I'm sad that she's gone. And so I don't like to think of her leaving like that. I just, you know, I the first three seasons are of Kes and the last four seasons are Seven of Nine. I don't really think about anyone coming in or leaving, you know, I don't know why. It's just, it's this happy-go-lucky, fugue state that I'm in where everything's fine and nobody's sad. Okay. But that, I guess that kind of contradicts my first choice. But before we go into it, that moment between Mulgrew and Kes, I often forget that, but it's good. It's solid because, you can look into her eyes and see there's something more behind that. There's something real in that moment.
Yeah, truly. And it's not the fact that Mulgrew is letting go of acting. You know, it's not that she's doing bad acting. I mean, she just adds this extra layer to it where you can see through it. I don't know. I'm having a really hard time explaining it. Like, if you understand this, you know exactly what I mean. And if not, I don't think any explanation's gonna do. So I'm gonna leave it at that. And that's fine if you've got a fugue state about Kes. I have amnesia when it comes to Fury. I think we're even.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is your first pick, sir?
Well, okay. So here's the thing is that I have such a bad memory when it comes to Scorpion. Because part one was the end of season three and part two is the beginning of season four. And I can never remember what happened in season three and what happened in season four. Like part one and part two blend in my mind so much that it's hard for me to divide the season. So I'm just going to say this and hope that it's in season four. And that's the introduction of Seven of Nine.
Okay, it is in part two, so you are okay.
I'm okay. All right, good. The introduction of Seven of Nine was phenomenal. No matter what you think of the character, you were waiting for this moment because the promotion for season four, Voyager, the advertisements, the hype, the TV guide specials, the magazines, everything was building up to that moment. And to have this Locutus type-esque female Borg, and we all love Best of Both Worlds. All of us do. Every single one.
Oh, yeah.
But we were anticipating it, and you know, Janeway's like, no, we need to be individual. Like they were gonna pseudo assimilate them, like where they're just their consciousness but not their bodies. And Jane was like, no, part of our individuality is what helps us think and what helps us come up with ideas. Maybe there's some sort of what's the term I'm looking for? Like representative, like Locutus, you know, like where, you know, what if you have someone like that? And they're like, oh, well, we actually do have someone for just such an occasion on this cube just for you. And she just happens to be a human. And so then all of a sudden we see Seven of Nine eyes closed, and then all the tubules go, you know, go off of her, and she steps out and just like, that is a badass moment. And
the reveal. Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, it's the reveal, the introduction. It's the before she opens her mouth, before anything happens, you're just like, this is going to be interesting.
Right. And those of us who were there when the show was airing, we did hear all the hype. We knew this was going to happen, and it had to be kind of grandiose. And they came through. It was still that larger than life quality of, ooh, there she is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, what's your second pick?
All right, another obvious pick, and it has to be done, though. That's why I'm getting these out of the way. I mean, season four has so many good moments. I didn't want them all to be obvious, but some are just absolute immediate check marks. So I've got to go with Janeway going down with her ship in Year of Hell, part two.
That's my next one, too.
Ah, of course.
That's my exact next one. And I knew you were going to pick this one, and you knew that I was going to pick this one. And
it's so good. I mean, it's probably just the peak of Voyager. After she says goodbye to her beloved friend Tuvok, she looks at her empty bridge, walks to her chair, takes a seat, And she does what she knows she has to do. And then, I mean, if you think about all that she's been through in this last year, going down with her ship is nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's maybe even almost a sense of relief knowing that this shit is going to be gone. It's going to be erased. It's going to be for the better.
Yeah.
So I think she takes some comfort in that. And then, of course, she says, just for you, time's up.
Yes, it's phenomenal. It's great. And I know a lot of people, I hate to say this, but I mean, you mentioned it just a moment ago about it's the peak of Voyager. A lot of people feel that way, that mm-hmm. episode 9 of season 4, like, which is almost the exact middle, is the peak of Voyager. And I hate to say that because that kind of makes it feel like, oh, well, everything after that is just downhill, which is not true.
It's You're not right. It's not.
There's a lot of great stuff, but Year of Hell is Voyager in pure form. I mean, that is the best of the best. That is their best of both worlds.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think as far as highly regarded two-parters, this one takes the cake. It's the first thing people think of, and for a reason, it's damn good.
If you compared it to Next Generation, you could compare it to Best of Both Worlds, where, like, that was the peak of Next Generation, maybe, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't some great moments after that.
Right. I think it's just kind of when they really hit their mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really, like, got noticed because of Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and that incredibly horrid, suffering summer that everybody waited for Part 2 to find out what was going to happen to Jean-Luc.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I picked it.
Okay. Well, do you want to put in an honorable mention or do you want me to go on with another one?
No, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep going.
Okay. Well, how about this cute moment where Neelix teaches Seven of Nine how to eat in The Raven?
Ha! Oh, that is a good, that's a solid moment. I like that.
I love this moment. I mean, eating is something that we just take for granted as human beings. Like, unless you're feeding a baby, you don't really think much about eating. You just do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's habit. And parents, therefore, know how difficult it is to teach somebody how to eat. And that's part of what I love about this scene is the fact that Ethan Phillips and Jeri Ryan really pull it off to perfection. I mean, she really doesn't know how to do this. And how do you describe swallowing and chewing? It's just incredibly cute. Well done. Sticks out as one of those just kind of quiet, not epic moments, but important nevertheless.
Yeah, this, like, Raven, for those of you who don't remember, is the episode where we learn a lot more of Seven of Nine's backstory. She's trying to integrate more into the ship, and it's a really interesting episode where we learn more about her parents and the mission that they were on. And it's I'm a big Neelix fan, and
I
love in that moment where it's just like he's so exaggerated in his, like, he's like you chew and you're like, and then you swallow, yeah. And then, like, the face that he makes, he's like, you know,
right.
Like, we all know what face he's making just by the sound I'm making with my throat. And it's just, it's because he's trying to make it fun. He's just like, no, this is going to be cool. You know, like, this is what he does. He's a chef, you know, he's a cook. And so, I mean, teaching someone how to eat, like, this is just pure potential for him. You know, he's just
truly.
Like, he's like, oh my gosh, I have another mouth that I can feed with my interesting and delectable culinary adventures.
And Seven appreciated it so much.
Very much she did. So yeah, you know what? I forgot about that moment. That's such a great moment. I'm glad you picked that.
Cool. Well, what is your next one?
Next one, I'm cheating a little bit.
What?
We all know that Message in a Bottle is one of my favorite episodes, and we did
It alone just for you.
Oh, thank you. We did a commentary for it a couple of weeks ago with our mutual friend Matt Hansen, and it was hard for me to pick one moment from Message in a Bottle, and so I'm cheating by saying the back and forth banter between the Doc and EMH Mark I and EMH Mark II. I guess if I had to sum it, if I had to put it into one moment, it would be towards the end where the Romulans were attacking and the Federation comes in to save the day. You know, like, just the, you know, when everything's going awry and all of a sudden the computer goes, it's like, beep, beep. And he's like, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. What does beep, beep, beep mean?
What does beep, beep, beep mean? And he's like, you know, the moments where he's over the Doc's neck and he's like, stop breathing on my neck. And he's like, my breathing is just a simulation. He's like, so is my neck. Stop it.
Yeah. That is good stuff. Yeah.
And, like, all those comedic moments, the back and forth, the just how genuine their comedic timing is and how the chemistry is some of the best chemistry between recurring star and a guest star that's ever been in Voyager. And we've talked about Message in a Bottle so much, but I have to say, like, that's my favorite moment, is like the banter between the two of them. But if I put a gun to my head, the ones toward the end.
Yeah. Can't disagree with you whatsoever, because their banter is what makes that episode so fun. Never mind the whole thing about, oh, it's the Doctor going to the Alpha Quadrant, which is cool in and of itself. But yeah, you've got the Romulans and you've got the EMH Mark II, and their banter is just, I don't know, I could watch that all day.
Yeah,
I
the really plot could. Is very much secondary to their dialogue.
It really is. I mean, they're just chewing up the scenery so well. You don't need a good story necessarily for those two. But it was still a decent enough episode, so.
Yes, it very much was. The plot was original and is fun, and yeah, it worked.
Which leads to what I think my next pick is going to be, because Message in a Bottle kicks off the whole connectivity with home, and then we follow that up with Hunters, one of my favorites. And Message in the Bottle was the first time the Alpha Quadrant knew that Voyager was alive and well. Right. But then Hunters comes along, and this is the first time that the crew exchanges letters with everybody back home. And they find out what happens. And this affects people in multiple ways, as we saw in the episode. Like, say, with Harry's parents, knowing that he's okay. I'm sure that's a huge sense of relief. And Janeway gets her Dear John letter. B'Elanna and the other former Maquis find out the fate of their what used to be their cause. Mm-hmm. And it's a very huge turning point in the series. And you can't ignore that.
No, this is a pivotal moment in the show. And you've mentioned this before. And
many times.
You really connect with this moment in the show.
I do, just because so much of what Voyager is about is getting home. So to have the connection 4 years in is a huge triumphant moment. And I know I've talked about Hunters ad nauseum, so I'm going to stop. And you make your next pick, sir.
So for my next pick is an episode that I feel like it's hard to hate. And it's hard for people to not like. And I feel like this has to be a beloved episode from Voyager fans. And if you're not a Voyager fan, then fine, I don't care. But
then what are you doing listening to this podcast? Although we do know that you're out there.
We do know that you're out there. And there are people who aren't Voyager fans, or it's not their favorite, but they still listen to us. And we appreciate that a great deal. We really do.
We do.
I guess I'm talking to the Voyager haters.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, you don't have to like Voyager, but if you hate it, go away.
Yeah, go away. The Killing Game is phenomenal. It's a great two-parter. And It has alien Nazis. It's got Klingons fighting Nazis in France. That's amazing. That
with
right
Neelix.
There, with Neelix. That right there is alone makes it a great episode. And you've heard me say that before.
Me too. That's my favorite scene.
You have Tom Paris speaking in World War II slang. And you have Seven of Nine in an all black outfit. You know, it's all fantastic things in this episode.
It is all good things, to steal a thing from TNG.
It's so great, and one of my favorite moments is when Janeway pulls the soldier out from the field where the holographic emitters start and stop, where he had no legs, and so she pulled him out just out of respect. He was a holographic soldier, like, that never really existed, but she still had respect for that era and that person. That hologram was based off of. And I think that's probably one of my favorite moments. I mean, I'm trying to pick something that hasn't been picked before by us, because I'd probably normally say the Klingons fighting Nazis in France would probably be the best moment of the episode. Mm-hmm. But to choose the road less traveled, I'd say that one, because that always was special to me, because she didn't have to do that. It didn't further the plot. It didn't save her hide in any way, shape, or form. It was just out of respect for those who died in that era and for democracy and for their country. And I think that was a great moment to add in.
I'm so glad that you picked that moment. That's great. You nailed it when you said just respect.
Yes.
It's not a major moment, but it says a lot, nevertheless. Right. So, yeah, okay. I would have gone with Neelix rallying up the Klingons because I'm obvious like that, but I'm really glad you went with this instead, just because, you know, to be honest, what an overlooked moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In another, what a great, great, great episode. Yes, very cool.
Well, what is your next pick?
Okay, well, I do believe we are coming down to the wire here.
Oh, so this is your final pick.
This is going to be my final pick. I've got to go with the Janeway and Chakotay moment, and it's not the one that you think. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I'm going to go with Janeway and Chakotay setting their differences aside and working together in Scorpion Part 2.
Mm.
Because I kind of like it when Chakotay and Janeway have some friction going on. They are debating and downright arguing. And they certainly do that in Scorpion, toward the end of Scorpion 1, and then definitely in Scorpion 2. And I'm specifically thinking of the scene in sickbay where she's come through from her injuries and she is mad at him for kind of countering her orders and doing pretty much the opposite of what she wanted to do as far as this Borg Alliance goes. You know, they have some great moments here where he says, disobeying your orders was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. They come through that. They set those differences aside and they realize, okay, you know what isn't working is us. We need to work together to see this through so that we live. And they do it. And so that's a great, great moment.
I think so, too. I think it's an important moment in the show. It's an important moment in their relationship. It's an important moment in the command structure of the ship. And I think it's something that can sometimes be overlooked. And I'm glad that you brought that up. And we've talked about them a few times on the show because we're such big Janeway and Chakotay fans. And it's a solid moment that I feel like every captain and XO has gone through or needed to go through, whether it's TOS, TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise. It's happened in some form or another.
Right. Well, I think even Chakotay says in Scorpion, if I don't help you explore all options, I'm no good to you if I don't do that.
Right.
And so he is very much doing his job, as hard as it is, though, because they have a friendship. Maybe a little more on the side. We don't know. We're not really sure. But he does it anyway, and it's hard. It's difficult to see them struggle, and yet they are better off for it. And that's why I appreciate it.
All right. Well, my last pick, I guess this brings it down to this.
It does.
In no surprise, one of my favorite episodes, because I love season 4. I love season 4 very, very much. Mm-hmm. And that is from the episode Hope and Fear.
Okay. I knew you were going to either pick from Hope and Fear or Mortal Coil. And I left you Mortal Coil. I left it all for you because I know how much you like Neelix. And so I kind of feel bad now that I didn't at least put it in an honorable mention somewhere. But honorable mention nevertheless, because that is my favorite Neelix episode.
Yeah, I almost chose Mortal Coil. It was between Mortal Coil and this. And I just, maybe it's because I just bought the Dauntless in a little diecast form. And, you know, maybe that's the reason why I chose this, but...
Okay, fair enough.
I love Ray Wise, I love Auturus, and I kind of have a tie. I'm cheating again. I have a tie for two moments in the episode.
Cheater, cheater.
The first moment is Auturus going down with a ship with the Borg at the end.
Okay.
Where he has a phaser blast burn to the chest. He's sitting down in the command chair, and the camera's spinning around him, and he has almost no emotion on his face, complete acceptance for the situation that he put himself in. And we hear the Borg's voice, and he knows what's going to happen. He's going to give, like, the Borg are going to get this very advanced ship, and they're going to get his life. And that's the gamble that he played. That's the game he played. He gambled and lost. Mm-hmm. And he realized it in that moment. And I think that was a very poignant moment where the quote-unquote villain was accepting his fate. And then the second part with the kind of the tie is the reveal of the Dauntless. I am such a big ship guy. I love the design. I love the aesthetic of the ship, the shape, the idea of it, the slipstream technology. Just when it first is shown on the view screen of Voyager, and then they're exploring the insides, and we see that new technology. It's all bright and colorful, and it looks like an Apple store, but in a really cool way. And it's you can tell, like, it walks a fine line of really advanced Starfleet design of where it's post first contact and something that you've never seen before, but also could you understand that it could be an alien ship after the fact. Like, once you know it's an alien ship, you're like, oh, that makes sense. you know, yeah. But it walks, like I said, it walks that fine line of Starfleet and Alien.
It's hipster Alien, or it's hipster Apple Store, because it looked like the Apple Store before there were Apple Stores.
That's right. That's
hey,
right.
Hey.
Yeah. It's an Apple Store Starfleet ship. You might not have heard of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's why. And so, yeah, I think that's one of my favorite moments, just because I love the ship.
Mm-hmm. It is a cool ship, and I love the moment that you mentioned before the reveal of the Dauntless, though, because that takes some guts to face your fate and not flee. You just, okay, this is it, and you just, that's it. I don't need to say anymore. I'm going to shut up now.
That's our top five moments. We would love to hear from you guys. Please find us on Twitter. Email us, contact us wherever you can, send us a message. Let us know what your top five moments are from season four. We want to hear from you guys.
On Twitter, you can contact me at @OhTheProfanity.
You can find me at @TheInsaneRobin.
Or if you want to send us an email, go to trek.fm/contact, and you can send us an email. Just make sure you select the show To The Journey, and that comes to both of us via email. You can also send us a voicemail that way. There's a link on the left-hand side of the Trek FM homepage. Just record a little something for us. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can just use your webcam's mic or whatever it is that you have internally in your computer, and we'd love to hear your voice. But then you can also go on the Babel conference and talk with other members of Trek FM. It is a closed group. It is only for Trek FM listeners. You're the only ones that know about it. You can go on there and have a big discussion with a lot of other like-minded people. And the nice thing about the Babel Conference is that it's not a huge flame war like a lot of groups devolve into. There's actually really good discussion there, friendly debate, a lot of great stuff, interactivity, have fun. If you're not on there, just type in the Babel Conference in the search bar and then someone will let you in after you click join. Well, season four moments aren't the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week. So here's a little look at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
I also like how they're like, here's some random stuff. Let us have one of your people. Like, they think that this is actually like a fair trade. Like, here's some ugly shield. Take it and let me have one of your best friends in the world. Like, what is he going to do? Yeah. Hang that up on his wall and be like, this is better than McCoy.
Earl Grey.
You know, what the dressing up and what the clubs and the meetings and the podcast, you know, all really comes down to is just finding and talking and being around other people who enjoy something that you really enjoy.
The Orb.
I'd like to see the Borg assimilate for Ingenar, and then they would become bankers. You know, I could see...
Oh my gosh,
I could
Borg
see
bankers.
Drones. Yeah, yeah.
The world's strictest bank ever. Right. I am sorry, you have not paid your loan. You will be assimilated.
The nanites go into you.
Yes.
To the journey!
You could say that the Equinox does get destroyed, but Captain Ransom lives. And since he is the highest ranking officer that's alive, he assumes command of Voyager.
I hate that idea. The Ready Room.
I do like that he just drops out of the sky naked. That is the perfect way to introduce Q. And then I love, just before we cut to the credits, they get this great shot of him looking up at Picard, and he's like, hey, what up? You know, right. A little flirty. I love it.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
So I think it actually fits into Quantum Leap continuity somehow. I don't know.
I'll
have to go to Pubala.com and see what they say.
Don't you dare try to make me feel obligated to watch NCIS.
The 602 Club.
But I loved the scene with Lucy and Tumnus when they first meet, because that's a very vivid description in the book. And I felt like they really nailed that in terms of the way it looked. And the CGI was advanced enough so that James McAvoy really looked like he had fawn legs. And
literary treks.
Tell us about coming up with this story for the crew of the Enterprise. Where did it come from for you, and what were some of your inspirations for diving into these characters once again?
Well, Troublesome Minds was such a book that it left me with as if I didn't quite finish. I'd come up with Troublesome Minds as an idea. The idea was, what pushes Spock toward Kolinar?
Axanar, the official podcast.
There is more to life then just get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat until dead. There's more to life than that. And I believe that that's the essential magic of Star Trek, is that it says, it appeals to that urge to get up off the couch, walk out the front door, and go see what's out there.
And introducing the newest addition to the network, Women at Warp.
Iman is fabulous, and I quite like Martia.
Yeah, me too. She's a fun character.
Yep. Also, you think Kirk would be happier about kissing himself.
Right?
It was his lifelong ambition.
Yeah. I don't know. I more feel like it's his lifelong ambition to kiss Spock, but maybe that's just me.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available on pretty much any platform that you can possibly access podcasts on. It doesn't matter if you are on Mac, on a Windows platform, or what have you. There is a way to do it. Just check us out. And if you haven't left us a review yet, please do so, especially if you are on iTunes. That is still, by and large, the way that people get podcasts. And leaving us 5 stars if you love us and leaving us a short review goes a long way to bumping us up in the rankings. So if you haven't done that, please do so. And if you have, thank you. And speaking of support, we have a sponsor for this show. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial, to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
And one more way that you can support us before we go, and that is through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber, because listeners like you, a la PBS, help us out in terms of storage, bandwidth, you name it. It unfortunately costs money to produce these podcasts and get them out. And so every dollar, whether it's 1 or 5 million, if you're really rich, goes toward helping us out a great deal. And we've got different goals that we are trying to reach as a network. And so please consider helping us out if you haven't already. And we want to thank our associate producers who are helping us out here, especially on TTJ, and those are Jemmy Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, and Aaron Harvey. You can follow Aaron at Geek Filter on Twitter. Now, next week, what are we up to?
Next week, we are doing an episode on the fly. It's not a Mirror Universe episode, but we know you guys love those, but we just did one not too long ago. So we're going to do an episode on the fly. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to write about it. We're not going to we're not going to think of anything ahead of time. We're going to do it. We're going to hit record, do our introductions, and say, boom, write the episode before your virgin ears. Now, one thing that I just thought of this moment, if you guys hear this anytime soon, you could reach out to us and tell us who you think we should focus on. Which character would be a good protagonist to write an episode on the fly, because we've done one around Chakotay, and we did a Mirror Universe one around Harry.
We did.
So let's do some folks listening at home. Let's do someone other than Harry and Chakotay. So, like, could it be Neelix? Could it be Seven of Nine? Could it be the Doc? Could it be Kes? Could anybody you could think of? Let us know. Write us, email us, tweet us. Let us know who you think would be a good character to write an on-the-fly story about. Now, don't give us show suggestions. Just give us character suggestions.
So, yeah, just characters. We will basically take a poll over the next week and see if there is a front runner, and we'll go with that. And then the rest of it is just going to come out of our brains, and we will see what happens. And that's the fun of it.
And that's the fun of it. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!